Hello.
Chuck?
Yeah.
This is Brent Kelly. A couple years ago, I interviewed you for Sports Collectors Digest.
Oh, yeah.
You recall?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Since then, I've written a couple of books. I'm trying to write a third one on the bonus baby era. And you were with Baltimore at the time. They were signing these kids right and left. Could I ask you just a couple of questions?
Sure.
Mainly, I want to know what your feelings were and what the feelings of the other players were toward these kids that were being given all this money.
There wasn't a whole lot of, I would say, animosity about it. You just wonder why they would go overboard on some young kids when they don't know what they can do except for what they did in high school.
Right.
That was the biggest concern. And most of the kids that came in to us that did sign up just seemed like they were pretty well overrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Wayne Causey was the best out of the group. He went the furthest, and then Jim Pyburn was second. Now, I don't think they got as big a bonus as a big left-handed...
Billy O'Dell?
No, Billy's all right.
He did fine.
He was well worth the money. He didn't get much money. I think he said he got $12,000.
You had O'Dell in 54, then you had Causey, Tommy Gastel, Bruce Swango, Jim Pyburn, and Bob Nelson. And
Bob Nelson, the guy, was probably didn't do good at all. He didn't do good at all. In that respect, and he got, I think, about $60,000.
He got a big one. He sure did.
Yeah.
Did the boys? And this is a hard question because they came in there out of high school, scared to death, and not knowing anything. But did it seem like, you say they were overrated? Did it seem like though they had talent, or were they just being scouted on against other high schoolers and not being properly judged?
I think they thought they had the talent to be major leaguers, but they couldn't get the schooling. At that time, you signed a kid to a bonus, you had to keep him.
Right.
In the major leagues, and you put him in there, and some will and some won't show progress. You know, I guess Causey and Pyburn and Gaskell was fine. I think he got killed.
He was killed in a plane crash, I think, and he was 19 or 20.
They never did find him, I don't think.
No, I don't believe they did, unless they found him years later.
Yeah.
They found the plane.
So he was... those three guys are pretty good in that respect, but they needed to go out in the minor leagues, but Paul Richards couldn't do it.
No, the rule was, I guess the rule was to discourage them spending so much money. You guys there in Baltimore had 20% of your roster a couple of years with these boys, which had to be a big detriment.
It didn't help the club because you couldn't go out and get the... you know, other players that had the experience and might have blossomed, you know, already had the talent to maybe put you up a rung or two.
Right.
And you put those young kids in, heck, I know I'd be scared to death.
Yeah.
If I went right out of high school, and what were you thinking about the other guys? We were just amazed and kind of down about it because you try to get a few more bucks yourself, you couldn't do it, and they give all that money away, which is... a typical thing at that time.
That was tremendous money in those days,
yeah.
Too.
And God, when he got that $60,000, he showed us what the hell he was getting, and he didn't know what to do with the money. He wasted it. I don't think he's had anything left when he got done. Bob did.
A lot of the boys, it's like a kid in a candy shop, I guess.
Yep, yeah.
Did the players, the Orioles veterans, was there an attempt to help the kids, or did they let them just try to do it on their own?
Oh, God.
It's different with different people, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't think they did anything against them. I'm sure we would try to help them because they're on the team. And if they got in a game, you would be helping yourself, you know, as a team. And I don't remember anybody being against them in that respect and not helping them.
I've talked to several of the bonus players, and it depends on the team. There was much different reaction. Spoke with Jim Pyburn the other day, and he said... that you helped him. Now, you may not be aware that you helped him.
Well, Jim and I were good friends.
Yeah, he said,
be good friends.
He said that he thought a lot of you and that you were very helpful to him in his adjustment. He was a little older now than the other boys. He'd been to college,
uh-huh.
Which I guess probably helped him.
Right. And Jim had a bad bad knees.
Yeah, football, too much football.
Football just killed him. But he was a good hustler and very aggressive type of a player. And, you know, I thought he was going to go real well, but I guess his knees had game problems.
Now, I'm going to ask a question that's going to be very hard for you to answer.
Yeah.
But do you think the same group of boys, now, Odell was a good pitcher for several years. Causey turned out to be an awfully good infielder.
Right.
But do you think if this is the same group of boys, if they had been allowed to go to the minors for those 2 or 3 years, that they could have made it in the majors, or do you think that most of them would have been washouts anyhow?
No, I think they had a crack. Really, I don't know. Bob Nelson just didn't show anything, in my estimation, in coordination and that. We were talking about that at Baltimore when we had our final day about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were up there and we were talking about the bonus babies thing. I think Jay Wendling and Eddie said, well, you know, I talk about Nelson mainly because we knew the other guys did all right.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, he just didn't look like he had it. Hell, he could. When he hit the ball in batting practice, he hit it 50,000 miles, but he didn't have a great arm, and they put him in the outfield, and he couldn't judge a fly ball. And they put him on first base, and he'd miss his balls there, and he didn't catch ground balls. They said, well, I think the kid was probably just scared, and he just didn't get a chance, which would go back if he went to the minors. Maybe he would have, but he was the only one that just didn't look like he might not at that time be ready. He wasn't ready, but I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And the other kids, Causey and Tom and Pibernan, they worked right in real well.
They had the tremendous disadvantage of just sitting and sitting and sitting,
yeah.
And that never helps anybody.
That's right.
What about this young man from Oklahoma, Bruce Swango? You remember him?
I remember the name.
A pitcher. They signed him. They signed him in a barn.
What year did they sign him?
I've got the list of them here. Hang on just a second. Where's Bruce Swango? Talk on it. 55.
Well, I was there.
He never played. He never played in a game. He's one there may be one other one.
He might have been a hard thrower.
He threw hard. He had no idea where the ball was going.
Yeah.
And according to a couple of fellows, Causey told me this, and I'm not sure who else. Maybe it wasn't Jerry Walker. He was later. But anyhow, Swango went to pieces when he started seeing all the people.
Yeah. Very possible.
Very nervous. You don't remember him specifically, though?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Right. He was
just kind of remembering they threw hard, and I, like you say, he probably didn't get to play, so that's probably why I don't remember too much about it.
I think he
didn't even want to take batting practice against him.
Yes, this is one thing that Causey said. He said every time he stepped in there against him, he sacrificed his legs.
Right.
I think he was the only bonus baby who was released before his bonus contract was up. The Orioles just gave up on him.
Well, that's because you couldn't get him down.
Yeah, that's a crying shame. Nelson was 18 when he signed. I'm just checking that up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was just fresh out of high school, 6'3", 210 pounds. He was a big boy, wasn't he?
He was strong, real strong, and they said he hit the hell out. They called him Babe Ruth of Texas.
Yeah.
That's what he was touted at was when he came up. But he just couldn't fit in a pattern defensively. Offensively, all right. I mean, but he, like you said, he's just a big 18-year-old kid. And my God, when I first got up in the major leagues and I went through a couple years of the minors and I sat in the dugout and watched these guys go through, I remember Kiner especially walk right by me and said, man, oh, man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then pretty soon I was just like them, you know,
yeah.
In that respect. But I think these guys never had the proper acclimation to get used to big names and stars, which they would have got in the minors, because when I was in the minors, the stars were going back down the hill.
Right.
And you met them, and you could get a lot of things from them. You know, they could tell you what the score is. As you were going up, they were coming down. So you felt comfortable when you got up there because there were some guys that you played with, you played against, that came in the majors at the same time. So it made it a little easier.
It had to.
In that respect.
I talked to Jim Small. Do you remember him with the Tigers, a bonus baby?
Jim?
Jim Small.
No, I don't
know. He was, let's see, what year did he say? He signed 55. He said that he signed out of high school. He was 18, and he's living at home, and he had to be home at 9 o'clock every night, and he signed the contract. And then all of a sudden, 3 days later, he met the Tigers in New York, and there were guys with their hands out for tips. He was expected to know where to go in a restaurant to eat. He said it was a totally overwhelming situation. I guess that had to be for all these kids.
Yeah, but see, we had more than one on our team, and those guys could have went and bummed together. Jimmy Dykes told me one thing, and of course, I was a veteran by the time I got to Baltimore.
Yeah.
He says, Chuck, stick with the guys in your own class. There's guys here, you don't make any kind of money like they do, and you're not like them. Stick with guys in your own class, and you're going to be real much better off.
Birds of a feather.
Kids didn't have a class to get involved with. Most of those guys on that team at that time were way over the hill, you might as well say, almost. And
it was a veteran team, very much a veteran team.
And they probably didn't want to fool with a lot of those kids, but I don't remember any of them not wanting to help. I can't remember that. I didn't mind helping them. What the heck?
Yeah, well, that's what Pyburn said. Said you were very helpful to him. He played a little outfield, and he said it was kind of alien to him when he got there, and you showed him positioning and stuff.
Right.
The rules, then, in your opinion, stunk, right?
Yeah, it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair mainly to the kids, and it wasn't fair to other guys that could have been there. You know what I mean? It had to go down, had to be taken off the roster because of that. So those guys might have developed and stayed for three or four more years, too, you know, that were on the team. Weren't, we'll say, real veterans. We'll say in between, maybe guys 27, 28, 29 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't keep them. You had to dispose of them.
Somebody had to go, of course.
Right. Somebody had to go. And consequently, it wasn't fair of that way. So it wasn't a good rule. The guys didn't care for the rule at all in that respect.
The few that signed in 57, the rule was revoked in 58, and then they were all allowed to be sent down. And the ones that signed in 57 that only had to spend the part of one season, to a man, the ones I've talked to, were glad the rule was changed.
Yeah.
They got their money, and I guess if somebody puts more money in front of you than you've ever seen, you're going to take it. Okay, Chuck, thank you. I hope I haven't interrupted your supper.
No problem.
I appreciate your time and your input. I need to get the feeling of some of the fellows that were there at the time.
Yeah, well, send me a copy of the article if I'm involved.
Well, it's going to be a book, I hope.
Oh, okay.
And it'll probably be a year down the road because
no
it's going to take a lot of time. But, yes, indeed, I'll send you a copy because I appreciate your help and I appreciate the interview that we did a couple of years ago. Remains is one of my favorite. I've probably done 50 or 60 of them. But,
great.
You know, as a kid.
I still get comments from people.
Good.
On that, and once in a while I get a card to be signed. They seen that article, and so it was some impact.
Good. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you, Chuck.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Chuck Deering.